You're listening, whoever you are, and if you're a new listener, welcome to Books and Authors on KYQX-FM. My voice is a little scratchy today, sorry. Both my author sitting here and I have allergies today, so you're going to have to listen to some kind of nasal congestion as we go on through this interview. But anyway, somebody told me one time that a good sore throat or a scratchy throat sounds good on the radio, so I'm going to go with that and just hope that you agree. I know you're going to enjoy this morning's show because, of course, I have a very interesting author here with me in the studio, and we're going to be talking about a very important topic. You know, since we started this show more than 4 years ago, I can't think of one Saturday that we haven't had an interesting author talking about fascinating topics. We've talked about everything from murder to romance, sports, arts and crafts, religion, biographies, philosophy. We've talked about a lot of things, and you'll be glad to know that the next few months, until the end of the year, we've got Saturdays filled with even more marvelous authors who are going to be here telling their stories, starting today. With an author who brings her own very personal account, written as a memoir of a life, of a life redeemed, and family struggles and physical and mental, emotional abuse. We're going to have a second conversation with a very informative and hopeful and positive conversation with the author C.C. Crittenden, or around here she's known as Carla Carr, in just a moment. We talked with C.C. a few months ago on the show, a special edition that was broadcast in the afternoon after one of our remote broadcasts out at Jerry's. But I know that many of our regular listeners told me that they just didn't hear it because we broadcast it at 2 o'clock. So I've invited CeCe back, and I know you're going to enjoy her story. But first, let me remind you that you're listening to us today on KYQX-FM, or maybe on one of the sister stations, KMQX or KSQX, all the others in the growing QX family. And remember, in case you're ever out of earshot of a radio, have your iPhone or your computer handy, you can listen to all of the QX shows by going to the website. That's qxfm.com and clicking on Listen Live. We're just about everywhere. And again, we're glad that you are here with us this morning. Let's get right to our guest author now. I already have halfway introduced her. Now let me give you the whole deal. I'm honored to have with me today Carla Carr, who writes under the name of C.C. Crittenden. I believe that's her maiden name. Welcome back to our to Books and Authors, C.C.
Thank you, Linda. I'm really glad to be back.
Okay. And like I said, both you and I have got that little scratchy throat this morning, so we're going to be giving off a little different attitude, I think, today as we try to struggle to get our voices to go through this show here. But kind of like deja vu today, we're glad to have you back.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. And as I said, her real name is Carla Carr, but she writes under her maiden name, C.C. Crittenden. And we're going to be calling her C.C. and Carla intermittently here, so just bear with me. You'll know I'm talking to the same person. Before we get to the nitty-gritty of your book, C.J., which details your past and how you got through it, actually, let's talk about your present. Tell our listeners a little bit about your life here today. What brought you to Weatherford? You moved here not very long ago.
We've been here almost 3 years.
Okay.
And we moved from East Dallas.
Okay.
And we just decided one day we were sitting in a little Mexican restaurant, and my husband said, you know, I think someplace west of Fort Worth would be a good place to live. And my son lives in Springtown, so we called him and got his real estate agent's name and number and called her. And within a week's time, we found the house and signed on it and got ready to move.
Now, where had you been living?
In East Dallas, over by White Rock Lake in Forest Hills.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's awfully nice out here in Weatherford, Texas, isn't it?
We love it.
Yeah. Even with all the traffic and all the allergens in the air now.
Yes.
Yeah. But I did hear on a pollen report the other day that Dallas is number one for the pollen report coming out. So at least you've moved a little farther west. Maybe it won't be so bad. We're very glad to have you here. I know that you have just delved into the life here in Weatherford and have gotten involved in a lot of things. But in the meantime, you've been writing as well, and you have written this book called The Cherokee Advantage, One Woman's 20th Century Trail of Tears. And as I said, we talked to you a few months ago, and I was just so intrigued with the book itself and, of course, the topic, your life, because you've led a very interesting life, haven't you?
Well, I have. I think I've probably reinvented myself several,
several times. Well, it's a compelling story, and I wanted to be sure to bring it back to the attention of more of our listening audience. It chronicles events that happened to you and your family, and a lot of it is just not pretty. It must have been a hard book for you to write. Share with our listeners what your book is about, a life that started going bad, didn't it, when your mother actually took you from your paternal Cherokee grandparents with whom you were living at the time. You were about four, right?
Actually, it was on my fourth birthday that my mother kidnapped me from my grandparents.
Mm-hmm. Well, right there, you start with a story that, you know, most of us cannot even halfway identify with. But please, go on.
And she took me to Arkansas, where things just started to go downhill immediately. Most children at the age of four don't remember a lot of things unless they're really traumatic. And traumatic things started to happen right after she took me there. So that's why I remember so vividly the abuse from the man whom I thought was my father, and I witnessed the death of my baby brother at his hands, and it went on. Well, mother was married to him for 9 years, so there was 9 years of
physical abuse,
physical, mental,
emotional.
Yes.
Just a bad scene altogether.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. So you're a young teenager now. Now, in your book, you talk about the relationship with your mother. Of course, I don't know. How would you characterize that?
Mama had no ability to be a mother. Some women are natural-born mothers. Other women adapt to it. Mother absolutely could not.
Mm-hmm.
She had children, and then they were on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And as I grew older and I had so much responsibility with my little brothers and sister, I began to resent her very much because
mm-hmm.
I couldn't do anything that I wanted to do. I always had these responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So it's by the time I was 14, she was ready to get me out of the house.
And she did.
Indeed. She made arrangements with this young airman in Las Vegas, Nevada. I was a freshman in high school, to marry me. She lied about my age and set up the wedding, and the next thing I know, I was married.
And you were about 15 at the time.
Almost 15.
Almost 15. I couldn't imagine. What was that like?
It was scary. I wished all the way down that aisle in that little chapel around the corner in Las Vegas that someone was going to come and save me. But they didn't.
So out of one bad situation, right into another.
It was. He was a drinker and a batterer. And 5 years and four kids later, I decided there had to be something better out there.
Well, I would think so. I would think so. So what was the breaking point for you there to leave that relationship?
I left three times. And the third time, he pulled up in the driveway with a lady that he was seeing, flaunting her in my face, and I finally realized this was just hopeless. You know, when you're young and alone and you have all these children, you're more afraid of the unknown than you are of the known,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, where am I going to go? How am I going to
care? Right now you're about 19 years old and you've got four children.
Yes. Well, I have three. Because one
yeah.
died at birth.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
But so I have three children, and I don't know what to do. But the third time was the charm. I decided I had to get out of there.
Mm-hmm. And you did what?
I went to welfare and asked for help. And they called my mother in Dallas and asked her to send money. She sent me a $50 check, told me to get on the nearest bus and come home because she couldn't keep sending money, but she could take care of me in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did with my three babies.
Back to another bad situation.
Indeed.
Just back and forth, back and forth. You must have thought at that time that there was a cycle there that just couldn't be broken. It was a very difficult time for you and for your children, but somehow, some way, you break away even from from another set of bad situations, and you get into something else.
During this whole period of my growing, I married four times. And the men were abusers, drinkers. I kept getting
in. There was a pattern there.
There's a pattern, and I couldn't seem to break it.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth husband was a marriage of convenience. I had cancer. I was ill, and he needed a place to stay, and we agreed, you know, that we would get married and he would live there.
Yeah.
But
mutual benefit there.
Mutual benefit.
Yeah, at that point.
And that lasted 14 years. Mm-hmm. And believe me, it was not a marriage made in heaven.
So many things. It's just unbelievable. This is a compelling story, a personal memoir that's written with such emotion. I know it's cathartic for you, inspirational for the rest of us, even if we haven't fought the same fights. Why did you write this book? It must have been very hard.
It was. My husband now, Doug, and by the way, my soulmate, encouraged me to write my story. He said, people need to know your story. He said, I think it will inspire people who are maybe going through the same things or have been, and help them get rid of the baggage they're carrying around, to know that you can move on and upward. And so I began writing, and I didn't know what to do, so I just started at the beginning with my earliest memory, which was of my baby brother being murdered.
Mm.
And I just went from there, until I finished the book, which I managed to do after we moved here, and I didn't have quite as many distractions as I did in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. The book is called The Cherokee Advantage, One Woman's 20th Century Trail of Tears, a memoir. Tell our listeners the significance of the title, The Cherokee Advantage.
I'm convinced that my heritage, my Cherokee heritage, is what helped me make my way through all of these traumatic incidents in my life. It made me strong. It gave me integrity and power. And I call that the Cherokee Advantage because of my native heritage.
Mm. Very interesting. Cece, I need to interrupt here for just a minute, and we'll go for a station break and a few messages. We'll be back in a few minutes, folks, with Carla Carr, or Cece Crittenden, in her book, The Cherokee Advantage. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Books and Authors on KYQX-FM. I'm Linda Bagwell, your host, and this morning we're talking with Carla Carr, or as she writes under her maiden name, Cece Crittenden. We're talking about her book, The Cherokee Advantage, One Woman's 20th Century Trail of Tears. We were just getting into the book a little. On the website, Amazon website, actually, there's a review of your book, Carla, that I'd like to read. It says, it's one of the most gripping books I've read in a long time. I simply could not put it down, and I'm truly amazed that this woman survived not only one, but so many abuses in her life. Even more amazing, this woman is now a personal friend and is absolutely one of the classiest, graceful women that I've ever known, a true survivor. How does that make you feel when you know that you have touched someone with your writing, with your book, to that extent?
Well, it makes me feel very good.
Yes.
The lady who wrote this confided in me that she's had a lot of similar experiences, so she really related to the book.
Oh, very good. You said earlier that you credit your Cherokee heritage with your intellect and courage and survival instincts. Tell us a little bit more about your background and what you know of your ancestry. I think that's very interesting.
I didn't know that I was part Cherokee Indian until I think I was 9 or 10 years old, and I heard my mother talking to one of her customers in a beauty shop about the fact that my daddy was Cherokee Indian. Mm-hmm. But when I asked her about it, she said, "We don't talk about that to just anybody. You just don't admit that you're part Indian." Well, I was fascinated with it.
I think so, yes.
And we lived in a little town called Coolidge in Arizona, and the Indians would come to town on the buck wagons, and there was a big bar down at the end of the alley, and they would go in there and get their beer and come down the alley, some of them, and sit behind our yard, behind our fence, and sit there and drink and talk. And I would wander out and talk to them, you know, and try to find out things about the Indians. When I decided to leave my first husband, I called my maternal grandmother because I knew she knew where my people were. And she gave me the information so that I could reach my daddy. And I went to Oklahoma on a train with my daughter and met them and was reunited with my wonderful grandparents. And here I was, 16 years old.
Right.
And it was a wonderful reunion. My grandparents were married 56 years when my grandfather died. And they were so kind and loving and respectful of each other. And they adored me. I was the oldest of all the grandchildren. And my granddad said when my mother kidnapped me that he walked the streets of Tulsa all night long, crying tears, because he didn't know which way to go, how to find me. And he was so excited to see me again. And they lived, they had land allotted to them by the federal government.
And this is in Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma, in Collinsville. And they lived in a manner of leaving a small footprint. The Indians are the original green people. And he was a hunter and a fisherman, and that's how he supported six kids.
Took what he needed off the land.
Yes.
And left it intact.
And before they outlawed it, he would sell venison and fish and so forth to the local meat market.
Mm-hmm.
But he only took what he needed to take care of his family. And of course they had their garden and their chickens and everything, and they lived very frugally. They didn't waste money on all kinds of, you know, fun things and that type of thing. But I was so thrilled to finally meet these people who had such an influence on me for 3 years
and
of my
young life. And to reconnect to your heritage. In fact,
yes.
you have kept that connection and have built on that connection now to your heritage. Tell us about something that you did just recently in Oklahoma, a shawl dance. Tell us about that.
Yes, Doug and I drove up to Tahlequah, Oklahoma, the capital of the Cherokee Nation, mm-hmm. for the National Cherokee Holiday. That happens every Labor Day weekend. And I had made this special shawl because I wanted to do the fancy shawl dance in the sacred circle. So I got up there, and I'm the second one to register. And I had on my shawl and my white sparkly cowboy hat and a purple Western outfit and my moccasins. And I go in to register, and they said, "Now, this is what you're going to wear in the competition." I said, "Yes." I said, "Okay, you must wear this for 2 days. You have to be in the grand entry for two evenings to qualify."
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a money-type thing.
Right, it's
dancing.
Competition.
It's
competitive,
competition.
Yeah.
And I said, "Okay, fine." They said, "You're over 55, right?" And I said, "Yes." They said, "Well, you sign in here under Golden Age."
Oh, Golden
Division.
Love that.
And I said, "Well, okay, fine."
Yeah.
So that evening came, and we all went in with the grand entry and then came back out. And the Golden Age women were the second to go in for the competition. So I'm lined up. They have a coordinator, and I'm lined up with all these Golden Age women. Now, I'm looking at these women, and they all are wearing probably $1,000 worth of buckskin and jewelry. And, I mean, they are just...
really decked out.
Decked out. And here I am, and I thought, well, this is a little different, but whatever. Mm-hmm. So we go marching into the drums, and it's dump, 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 dump. And that's the way these women are walking. Dump, dump. Dump, dump. Well, about the time the MC says, will everyone stand to show our reverence and respect for our Golden Age women, I start double-timing the drums. And I'm dancing and twirling around and doing my thing. I'm dancing like nobody's watching.
Yeah.
And then when it's over, we're all lined up, and the judges are out there with their clipboards making their notes. And I look down the line, and all these ladies are standing there. Of course, they have their shawls draped over their arm. They're very prim and proper. And right in the middle of the line is this black woman. And she's looking right at me, and she is laughing so hard. She can hardly contain herself. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we all get through and go out. Well, Doug and I find out later, people over 55 don't do the fancy shawl dance. That's if you're over 55, you go out there, dump, 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 dump.
You just kind of follow the like a little parade.
But I didn't know this. Uh-huh. So in my innocence, I did my dance.
Uh-huh.
And we laughed and laughed and laughed about it. And I bet they wondered where I came from. But I did it.
Oh, very good. Now, what is the significance, though, of the shawl dance? What kind of shawl are you talking about?
Well, it's a shawl, and you
said you made it.
I decorated it
with
the official seal of the Cherokee Nation on the back.
Okay.
And then I'm descended from the Wolf Clan, mm-hmm. so I had wolf print fabric around the bottom or above the fringe, and then I put Swarovski crystals for where all the wolf's eyes were around the whole shawl.
Well, it sounds lovely.
It was.
Yeah. And you showed it off very well, didn't you?
I did.
Well, congratulations. And I'm sure you stand out in everybody's mind now. And you're the one that they're going to remember doing the shawl dance in Oklahoma. Very good. That's wonderful. It's a good story. You know, let's get back to your book a little bit. CC, we're kind of running out of time here. The Cherokee Advantage. You had some rough times, some bad people in your life, but there were also some nice ones that came through and really helped you out, you and your siblings. Who is Mrs. Ferris? Tell us about Mrs. Ferris.
Mrs. Ferris was our next-door neighbor in Coolidge,
mm-hmm.
and whenever something would go wrong, we were alone a lot. When something would go wrong that I couldn't handle, I would run next door to Miss Ferris, and she would take care of it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Some really good memories, too. I remember reading in your book about you and your siblings doing a rain dance. Tell us about that.
We had been to the movies on Saturday afternoon, and it was a very, very hot summer in Arizona, as only Arizona can have them. And we had watched these Indians doing this rain dance in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided we would do one. And I went in and got a pan, and I set my little baby brother down with a spoon and showed him how to beat on the pan like a drum. And then the other three of us marched around in a circle doing the woo-woo-woo-woo around the circle. And we're doing this and having the best time, and all of a sudden a cloud appears. And there's this huge cloud burst, and it comes a belly washer.
It worked.
It scared us to death. We never did that Indian rain dance again.
I think that's great. And so that, you know, again, you're a memoir, a book about someone's life. You're going to have the good times and the bad times, and you have come through those bad times very well. A couple of last questions for you, Carla. We're running out of time here. What would you want readers of the Cherokee Advantage to come away with? What lasting impression do you want us to remember?
To never give up, to always look forward, look around the corner. There's going to be something better ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep on keeping on, because God didn't put us here to suffer our whole lives. We just have to have faith.
And you have to have a lot of fun and do a lot of shawl dances.
That's right.
Indeed.
That's right.
Tell our listeners how we can get copies of your books.
You can order it from lulu.com. That's lulu.com on the internet. It can also be ordered from amazon.com. And I am having a book signing that's been rescheduled on November 17th at Barnes & Noble in Lincoln Center, across Northwest Highway from North Park in Dallas, from 7 to 10 p.m. This is really a great date, because November is National American Indian Heritage Month, and the American Indian Chamber of Commerce in Dallas, of which I am a member, will be very involved in this book signing.
Oh, wow, that sounds like a big deal.
So, yeah. I believe so.
Do you have a personal website of your own?
Yes, I do. It's C.C. Crittenden, and that's CRITTENDEN.com. I also have a blog, cccrittenden.blogspot.com.
Okay, what do you talk about on your blog?
Everything.
Any and everything?
Any and everything.
A lot of the authors I have coming in here for the show on Books and Authors tell me that they use blogs. A lot of social media, Facebook, Twitter, blogs, websites, and all that. You really into that?
Yes, I'm more Facebook and the blog.
Mm-hmm, very good. It's a wonderful venue to reach people these days.
Yes, it
sure is. Do you have other works in progress now?
I am working on a series of books for middle school children, tentatively titled Cherokee Adventures. The first book is almost finished, and it's loosely based on the lives of my great-great-grandparents.
Wow.
And I'm going to let my granddaughter, who is 12, read it before I publish it to make sure I'm on the right track.
Okay, there's a pretty good critic right there. Yes. A different perspective altogether. Different perspective. Well, caller, it's been my honor to have you here on the show today with me. C.C. Crittenden's book, The Cherokee Advantage, One Woman's 20th Century Trail of Tears. I want you to come back when those books are done. I want you to come back and we'll talk about those. And it's always a pleasure to have you here. Now, you'll also be at Books and Authors and All That Jazz next April, right?
I will be.
Okay, that's April the 30th, 2011. I cannot believe that that's already coming around the corner for us. That's just a few more months. Speaking of Books and Authors and All That Jazz, ladies and gentlemen, we have announced the deadline for the writing contest that is associated with Books and Authors and All That Jazz, the Canis Latron Writing Contest. This will be our sixth year for the writing contest, our ninth year for the book festival itself. So it's just growing and getting bigger and better all the time with that. But the deadline for the writing contest for poetry, creative nonfiction, and fiction stories, January the 31st. So we've announced that early, so it'll give you plenty of time to write. And online submissions only this time. You have to email in your submissions to writingcontest@wc.edu. If you've got any questions that you want to get answered before you start writing, go to our website at wc.edu and click on the calendar tab. That will take you to the events, and events are listed there, one of them being Books and Authors and All That Jazz and the writing contest. Just click on that. There's entry form information there. There is criteria, qualifications, information about the contest itself on there. January 31st, 2011, the deadline for the Canis Latron Writing Contest, Books and Authors and All That Jazz, April the 30th, 2011. We've got lots of things going on between now and then, so but do take time to write and submit your entries. We're always pleased to get those. If you have any questions, just call me at the college at 598-6274, 817-598-6274, or our contest coordinator is Ray Wooten, and her telephone number is 817-598-6456. So that's it. Carla, I bet you could write a nice poetry piece of poetry or a nice piece of creative nonfiction for that contest.
I've been working on something.
Yeah, cash prizes.
Yes.
So, yeah, we like that. Listen, next week is September 25th. We will have a, we're going to kind of go a different route next week with a different, entirely different subject. Dave Lieber will be making his second appearance here. Actually, you may know him from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram as the watchdog columnist, a crusader for all of us little people, John Q. Public. Who get taken in by scams and other nefarious schemes. He's also a popular humorist and a speaker, and Dave will be back with the latest on what he's been up to, so who knows what we'll be in for then next week on Books and Authors, September 25th. Dave Lieber will join us at 10 o'clock on 89.5. So join us at our regular time again, 10 o'clock. Again, Carla, such a pleasure to talk with you. I know that we're going to talk more at Books and Authors and all that jazz. I wish you luck with the book. It's certainly a worthwhile read and has a lot of lessons in there for all of us.
It's been my pleasure, Linda.
Thank you very much. That's C.C. Crittenden, The Cherokee Advantage, One Woman's 20th Century Trail of Tears. Please do join us next week, next Saturday, the 25th at 10 o'clock. Dave Lieber and I will be here on Books and Authors on QXFM. Thank you for listening today.
Texas Tech football right here on 89.5 KYQX.
Quick throw right side on the trips formation is caught by